Today you'll be encouraged through God's word, and we're looking forward to the time that we get to be back together, and hopefully that will be soon. They're starting to phase in the president's three-step phase plan, and so we're hoping that we can be back together soon, and we're monitoring the situation and keeping up with the governor's decisions and all of that, and hopefully we'll be able to be back together and we'll see each other face-to-face again, and that's going to be a great day. But before Pastor comes, we're going to sing a song. We're going to sing Stand Up for Jesus, page 378 for the ones that are here. And we're going to sing the first, the second, and the last verse. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength opposed. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank you once again for being able to gather in your name, Lord, and to hear from your word. And we pray again, Lord, for those that are affected with the coronavirus, Lord, that you would bring healing to them and that you would give the doctors wisdom in treating and to find a vaccine and a cure, Lord. And we pray for our nation that we'd make the right decisions going forward for the economy and for our people. And spiritually, Lord, that as a nation, we would turn back to you, Lord. Our hope is not in a president, it's not in Congress, but it is in our churches and your word being preached and the gospel going out throughout this country. That's what we need more than anything. Amen. And maybe during this quarantine that you have taught us anything, that it is we're not in control, that you're in control, and that we don't know when life will change or when life will cease to be, and that we need you, Lord, and that we need you more than ever. And we pray, Lord, for those that are on our prayer request, Lord, for Debbie Holland with cancer, Lord. She's fighting a tough battle right now, and Chris alongside her, Lord, and we want to lift them up in prayer. Yes. That you would strengthen them, that if it be your will, you'd bring healing, Lord, that when Please. The doctors don't even think that's possible, Lord, but we know that anything is possible with you, Lord, and we want to lift them up. And the others on our prayer list, Lord, that have been on there a long time, Lynn Ross fell the other day and broke her arm and hurt her back, Lord, and we want to lift her up as she's in the hospital, and they wouldn't let Daryl be in there with her due to the virus, Lord, and we know that that could be scary sometimes being in a hospital bed alone. And we pray that you just encourage her as well and Daryl as well. And the others that are on our list that are part of our church family, I don't know them all off the top of my head. I didn't memorize the list, Lord, but that we want to be faithful. You know who they are, and just lift them up in prayer, Lord. They're in your hands, and we ask that you bring healing, encouragement, and strength to each one of them and comfort in your word. Yes. Be with Pastor as he preaches, and help us to listen attentively, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Tonight, Brother Jerry Hood's going to speak at 6 o'clock, and some of our men who preach are going to take the Sunday night services for the next few weeks, just to, as we would do if we were having full service, we would give some of those guys that preach an opportunity to speak, and we love hearing from them. Our text today is coming from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. And while you're turning, I want to mention, Jacob mentioned Debbie Holland with cancer, And Carol Holloway is on chemo pills for blood cancer. Sarah Van Benskoten has been in long-term treatment after, I believe it was breast cancer originally, and they had to continue with treatments for quite a while. Dick Van Benskoten, autoimmune disease problem. Lynn, Daryl came by this morning, and we have a wheelchair that Pete was using until he didn't need it anymore, and so Jerry cut the grass yesterday and took the trailer back to Pete's house to store, and picked up the wheelchair and brought it in, and so Daryl came by and picked it up this morning, so he hopefully can pick up Lynn at the hospital today. They were running some tests because the vertigo was so bad she actually passed out, and the doctor said you shouldn't pass out from that. You should just get dizzy, at the worst maybe throw up, you know, or possibly fall, but she actually, I believe she passed out from it, so hopefully they're running some tests. Maybe they can give her some medicine or do something for her with this. Bill and Debbie Wright have health needs. They ask us to pray for them regularly. Diane Hudler has stage 4 liver disease. Connie Rooks has a severe blood cancer that she's taking that very heavy chemo that just really zaps you, you know. Lisa Hood, health needs. Paul and Loretta with their health and their age-related issues. Please remember both of them. And all of our folks who are up in age usually have some aches and pains and some kind of treatments they're going through. Rita Baskins fell a while back, and she believes she broke a rib because it's continued to hurt her, and getting up and down is still bothering her. And their neighbor, Wayne Connor, health issue. And then a lady named Janice that they met out at the campground, her husband's name is Roscoe. And he has a landscape business. He always had a pickup truck with his name and the information on the side, so everybody knew who Roscoe was at the campground because of his truck. And his wife's being treated for cancer, so we want to remember her in prayer also. We want to remember our president and our leaders in our nation that what is best for the nation will be done and what is honoring unto God. And I want to be thankful this morning that God spared us from a terrible storm last night. There was 3 storm cells. They weren't extremely widespread, but they came through our area last night, and we got hail and very high winds. When the cell went over our house, you know, that's the expression people say, it sounded like a train. The wind was so loud when it went over. But I knew that God had lifted it high enough that it didn't cause any damage in our yards or vehicles or our home or anything like that. And we're so thankful. We could hear some of those big hail balls before it started pouring smaller hail. We were getting some individual drops, you know, smack, smack, smack on the roof of the house. And so we're just very thankful the Lord spared us and protected us. And that's the second storm where that wind sound has come over our home and been high winds. I believe WBT reported over 70 miles an hour and over around Cramerton and Lake Wiley, some circular winds that were going over. And so we're just very thankful God's protection and blessings, both in relation to this virus and the storms. God's in charge. He's on the throne. And we can pray and ask for his help as his children. He protects us like we would protect our own children in harm's way. So we give God thanks today. Ephesians 5, verse 25, I'm going to read all the way through verse 33. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, I ask that you'll guide and direct what I say. May it be protected to be biblically correct. May it bring honor and glory unto you. And may it be the help that we need as Christian people to live the righteous life that's pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Equip us today from the word, we pray. Help us to be a good witness to others and an example. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been studying the subject of the home and the family and the relationship of the husband, wife, and children ever since Valentine. It's been a series that we've been doing, and I'm continuing that today. And we're going to deal today with the needs of the wife. And the scripture speaks to the husband and the wife and the children. We saw from the book of Titus in the message dealing with that section that God uses older men and women in the lives of younger couples. And they are to be involved in the raising of the children, to be an influence and a help. We see here in this passage, quoting from the Old Testament, that the husband is to leave his mother and father, be joined to his wife, they two become one flesh. But we know that godly mothers and fathers, grandparents, have great influence and a great example and can be a tremendous help in the raising of children. Now, there's a very wide range of needs in the part of younger married couples. In the text in Titus chapter 2, the younger women need things that older women can teach them better than a man can teach them, like how to dress modestly, like how to cook, like how to learn to shop and to save, and how to be prepared to get things done so they can spend time together as a family and with her husband, and the demands of the children. Young women have to get ready to have children. And too many today have children too early. Too many have children before they get married. And then they're not equipped. They're not ready. Young people like to do a lot of things outside the home. They like to be involved. They like to date. They like to go together and go to ball games and all those kind of things. And when you bring kids into the picture, all of that comes to a halt, and you begin to be dictated on how you can spend your time because of the needs of the children in the home. So it's important that older women help the younger women to know how to do these things, to love their husband, to love their children, and to be good keepers of their home. Women need to learn how to support their husband and help him to become the man and the husband that God intends him to be, and that the wife needs him to be. She has certain needs that the husband must meet. It's not that younger wives are not educated or that they're not smart or anything of that. They lack the experience that older women have after they've been married many years and raised children. Hemachandra and I were talking this morning. He and his wife have an anniversary coming up, and he's got a birthday coming up in May, and we congratulate them on their anniversary and on his birthday and pray God's blessings on their home. And my wife and I have an anniversary in May, and we'll have been married 49 years. I don't think I'm as old as my mom and daddy, but I remember my mom and dad's 49th wedding anniversary. And they never made it to the 50th. My dad died at 74 years of age, and he didn't get married till he was 25, and so they never made it to the 50th year. And I have expectations that we are of physical health and well-being to maybe go on a few more years, and so I praise the Lord for that. But I'm amazed that I've come to that point in my life that we've been married 49 years. I don't think I'm that old.
I was 19 when we got married, and she was 18, and we've had a long life so far already together. Now, the experience that older women have is vitally important to younger women. Men can learn from their older siblings and older parents and how to be a better dad and how to take care of his family and how to live. Women need to learn how to be a wife and mother not from Hollywood movies and not from reading the bestseller books and not from peers of their own age. They need it from godly older people who've lived the experience and know the right and wrong of making certain decisions that can save them a lot of heartache and a lot of headache if they'll just follow that advice that the older people can give them. Me and a wife has needs, things that you must supply for her. Women have many needs. Dr. Willard F. Harley Jr. interviewed 2,200 women and listed their top five needs. He talked to them about what they felt was their top five needs. First on the list was affection. And he's not talking just about the sexual relationship. He's talking about tenderness and love, compliments, notes, and cards, and hugs, and doing duties for her to give her time because she's taking care of the kids and taking care of the home and maybe working a job as well. And so showing that affection was the number one on their list. She needs the stability and the direction of a spiritual leader in the home. And this means, men, that we must be spiritually mature and not be a big kid in the marriage relationship who's always running off doing our own thing and having fun and leaving the wife at home to tend to the children and care for the needs of the home. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So it's important that as husbands that we're faithful in church, that we become a spiritual man to be the spiritual leader to the wife and the children, and that we influence them in a godly manner, because your wife needs a godly leader. If you love your wife and your family, then build them up spiritually. God's given you the responsibility to steer the ship, and you need to steer it in safe waters and not put your family in difficult circumstances. Dr. Willard's survey said number one was affection, number two was conversation. I believe having conversation with the wife is vitally important, especially if she's been building them up spiritually. God's given you the responsibility to steer.
Getting some feedback there on my message, thank you.
And you need to steer it in safe.
We're catching up there, I think. Okay, I apologize. Conversation is needed by the wife, especially if she's been home all day with children. The level of children's maturity and intellect to have a adult-level conversation with the wife is not there. She likes to have that with her husband, likes to have that with people of her own age. And tending to the children all day will be her love and a great opportunity, and there'll be a lot of funny things that will happen. But she needs to have time to have adult conversation. Number three, honesty and openness from her husband. Dr. Willard Harley's list from 2,200 women of their greatest needs: affection, conversation, honesty, and openness from the husband. Number four is financial security. Number five is family commitment. Rick Johnson wrote, "Your wife has a God-given desire to have a close relationship with you, and it is one of her greatest needs." Ken Canfield wrote, "Kids are born single." Think about that a second. Little boys and girls are not married, you know. Where are they going to learn how to be a husband and a wife?
They learn it from their parents predominantly and maybe from their grandparents. Abraham Lincoln is credited with saying the greatest gift a man can give his children is to love their mother. Grandparents who are closely involved in raising the kids and helping them can be a great example. Now, there's many ways that a man can honor his wife. From the book, Better Dads and Stronger Sons, it's important for a man to speak highly of his wife in front of others, to show his love for her by little things like holding her hand and opening the door and speaking in a way of showing respect to her in front of others. Number three, to tell the kids to be thankful for all their mom has done for them. You can ask the kids questions at mealtimes. Who made your meal tonight? And they'll think for a moment and they'll guess. They'll say, you did? And he'll say, no. Mom did. That's right. Mom made your meal tonight. Who washed your clothes? Who cleaned the house? Who made your bed? Learn to thank their mother is important by dad showing them the example and reminding them of how much she does for them so that they'll pause long enough to be thankful for it. Number four, wise investment in a public gift for your wife meets a need that she has. I got in some trouble with my wife one time back before I was a saved man. I stayed out too late, some other guys, and was drinking, and I wasn't a Christian then. Thank God when he saved us both at the same time and strengthened our marriage, because if it had been left up to me, it probably would not have made it. But I was in trouble with her because of that, and so one of the guys I worked with said, get on the phone and call a florist and send her some flowers at work. And I got on the phone, called a florist. I think it cost me $45 even way back then. And sent her a dozen roses with a vase. And they came to her at work. And the lady she worked with said, oh, is it your birthday? No. Is it your anniversary? No. She didn't want to tell them why I sent her the flowers, you know, because I was a scoundrel. And so when I got home, she talked nice to me. And not only did she talk nice to me, she had taken a picture of the flowers. She figured that was the only time she'd ever get any, so she took a picture of them. And men, I tell you, send your wife some flowers once in a while. It might make a difference in her attitude toward you. Maybe some jewelry or something like that, that others can see your affection for her is being shown in the way that you treat her. Leave her a note thanking her, telling her that you love her. My wife used to put notes in my lunch. When I worked construction, when we first got married, that first 6 months, I'd open my sandwich up, and one time I bit into my sandwich and pulled a piece of paper out that she had put it in the middle of the sandwich, you know, honey, I love you, or something like that, you know. So when I got home, I said, look, I appreciate the notes, but don't put it between the bread, please, you know. I don't want to eat them. Notes are important. Men need to make sure that you treasure your wife as your equal, and don't talk down to her and don't order her around. I've seen people whistle and snap their fingers and tell their wife to get over here and stuff, like you'd call a dog instead of like you'd call somebody that you treasure that is your equal. Listen to her opinion and ask her advice, and very quickly ask forgiveness if you say or do something that hurts her or offends her. We need to be ready to apologize for infractions of our behavior. Don't allow the kids to be disrespectful to their mom. It's important that they see her value just as much as you. And do your best to be sure she has good, safe transportation. God is blessed, so the church furnishes me an automobile to drive, so we've been able to keep a pretty decent car from my wife. But even before that began to take place many years ago, I'd always drive a piece of junk, let my wife have the car that we were making payments on that was, you know, had a warranty and in good condition and that sort of thing. And I think that's important to have safe, reliable transportation. I didn't ever want my wife broke down on the side of the road somewhere on the highway. Malachi 2:14 through 16 teaches that God hates putting away, meaning divorce. God hates putting away. He teaches in that text, do not deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. She is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. We make a covenant with God when the marriage ceremony is taking place to love and honor and cherish and to stay together until death parts us. And that's a covenant made to God. Ecclesiastes 5:4-5 says, you are better off not to make a vow than to make a vow to God and then not fulfill that vow or pay that vow. So the woman needs a spiritual leader to steer the ship. Secondly, she needs your love and acceptance. Scripture says you are to nurture and cherish your wife. Delight in her and in her fellowship together with you. She is your treasure. She needs to be the important person in your life. Just ask some of these people that messed up their marriage and went through a divorce, and then they recognize how valuable it was to have a good marriage relationship. Be content with her beauty and have eyes only for her. The scripture is very clear about God's desire for us to stay together in marriage and be aware that our physical features change and fade as the years go by. You can't tell looking at that camera right now, but there was once a day where I had a lot of hair. And it was handsome, good-looking hair. When we got married, I had about half hippie hair, you know. Got out of the military and grew my hair down over my ears and all like that. That was a common thing in the 70s, you know. I had some red pants and a white belt and all that kind of, you know, fitting in with the fads of the youth of that day and time. But I got to a point I started losing my hair. Boy, I was worried about it. I didn't want that to happen. I prayed about it. Lord, I'd sure like to keep my hair. You know, I don't want to be bald. And you know what? Didn't make any difference. God said, you need to be bald. And you know what I said? Yes, sir. I cut the comb over off and been dealing with it ever since then. But your wife's going to change too. She could start losing her hair. She could have features change. She might gain a little bit of weight. There's a lot of things that happen. When my wife and I got married, she reminds me all the time, I had a 29-inch waist when we got married. It's a lot bigger than that now. And I have changed over the years, and she has changed some over the years. She needs you to be solid as a rock, husband. Somebody she can count on. Somebody who's loyal and faithful to her. She needs to know that you adore her. And that's something that women never get tired of hearing when it's sincere compliments and sincere appreciation and love. Number three, she needs to know that she's meeting vital needs in your life. She needs to know that as your wife, that she is valuable to you because you have needs for her. Spiritually, she completes you as a husband. The two are joined together by God, and you become one in the eyes of the Lord. Without her, you will have an emptiness. We have a number of younger widows in our church. Ladies who were married and their husband died from health issues or from whatever the reason. And now they're on their own. And I know without a doubt in my mind, they miss their husband. They miss their marriage. They miss the things that they did together. And you lose your wife, you're going to miss her. There's going to be an emptiness there. And so it's important that we recognize we need to protect that marriage relationship with all that we possibly can. She meets a need in your life. And ladies, let me say to you, Proverbs 31 woman in the Bible is not a queen sitting on a throne that's expecting to be served. She's a loyal, faithful, hardworking person who helps her husband and steers the home and blesses the children, and they will rise up in their old age and call her blessed. She needs to see that you love her like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Your unity will enhance your prayer life. 1 Peter 3:7. If you got aught between the husband and wife, it's going to affect your prayers. And you don't need your prayers affected negatively. Your child has to go to the emergency room with something serious. Right now, if somebody in your home comes down with this virus or something of that nature, you need to be able to get hold of God and pray and ask his help and protection and provision. And you don't need to have anything hindering your prayer life. And so the husband and wife need to have the right relationship. Men, you need to remember your wife has an antenna of discernment from a woman's perspective that you'll never have. She sees things differently than you see them. And wife, your husband, if he's the godly leader he needs to be, he's going to see some things differently than you do. She needs to know that she sees your weaknesses. She sees your failures. She sees your inadequacies. She sees when you mistreat anybody, including her. So it's important that we set the right example, live godly lives, and be the men that God would have us to be in leading our family. Number four, she needs you to understand that what the Bible says, she is the weaker vessel. She is weaker physically. She is weaker emotionally. She is weaker spiritually, because God designed to work through the man in the family for the man to be the leader. And so it's important that you recognize it doesn't mean she's inadequate. It doesn't mean she's weak herself. It means that in these matters of our relationship together, that she is the weaker vessel. Don't put your wife and kids in harm's way in any stretch of imagination. If you don't have understanding of your wife's needs, then Satan may bring some other man into her life who sees her needs. I've seen that happen over and over. Not because of horrific things that an interest in another person developed, because they talked to that person, they spent time with that person, they saw the needs that person had. This happens sometimes in the workplace where a man or a woman gets interested in a coworker that the husband at home is not meeting her needs and not understanding of her needs. That doesn't make it right, but I'm telling you it can happen. She needs you to come home with patience and understanding. Remember one time I read a story about a fellow who came home and he bought his wife some flowers from one of these vendors on the side of the road. Probably disciples of Sung Young Moon or something, you know, after selling flowers on the corner. He stopped and bought some flowers and he came home and pulled up in the driveway real easy, and he got out of the car and he brought out the flowers, and the wife came to the door and said she thought it was he drove up at the wrong house. You know, she thought he did. It wasn't her husband. You know, it's too different from his normal aspect of flying in the driveway and slamming the brakes and getting out and coming in demanding his supper. And all of a sudden, he took a turnaround, and she could notice the difference tremendously. The Bible's clear to husbands and wives both. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You see, a lot of times we're upset about something else. We're upset about a bill. We're upset about a political issue. We're upset about a neighbor causing problems. We're upset about work and the danger of losing our job, and we're stressed out. And we come home and we start taking it out on our wife and our children when they didn't do anything to cause us to feel that way. It's important, men, that we need a stress reliever. I've known of people that rode bicycle, that went to the gym, that did many different things. Physical exercise can deplete emotions so that you're not stressed out. And if you need to do something like that to be in a better mood for your wife, I'm sure she will help you to find a way to get that done. Don't make it hard for your wife or kids to come to you and talk to you and tell you things that are not what you wanted to hear. Boy, I remember I bought a car. It wasn't much of a car, but it was our car, and we didn't have one. We borrowed money and bought a car, and it was when we got married. We got married, we borrowed my parents' car to go on a honeymoon. We came back, we bought a car. And I would wax that thing and wash it and clean it up, and we drove to Camp Lejeune, lived out there. And I remember a lieutenant coming out of the same apartment we lived in. He said, "Wow, you could just about eat off that motor right there." He said, "I wish my car's motor was that clean." And boy, I just beamed, you know, that there that big 428 was, you know, and I could fly down the highway with it and pass cars. And that was my car, you know. And my wife drove it one day, and she made a turn a little bit too sharp, and underneath the car bumped the edge of the curb, you know. Boy, I got upset, and I said something harsh to her about it, and she just hung her head, you know, and felt bad. And it was no time. Within a matter of days, we went out to a pizza place. We came outside. We got in the car. I put it down drive and went forward, and I forgot there was a parking stop in front of me. And the car hopped that parking stop and went crash. And she just looked over at me and kind of smiled. Like, happens to you too, doesn't it? You know, I learned a valuable lesson right then. I've seen some relatives of mine almost get a divorce because they had wrecks, had two or three wrecks. And they get mad, shout, scream, holler. I'm going to tell you something, friends. A piece of metal of a car is nothing but a piece of metal. And there's no need losing your marriage over it. It's important that we treat the things we have with some respect, but at the same time, accidents can happen to anybody, and if an accident happens, your wife needs to be able to come and tell you about it, not try to go get it fixed on her own so you don't find out about it, because you're going to blow up if she tells you. And the same thing's true with your kids. If they get in trouble at school, or if they get to the age of driving and have a problem driving or something, or get a ticket or something like that, they need to be able to come and sit down with you and tell you, "Dad, I got in trouble, you know, I made a mistake." If you're so harsh that they can't talk to you, then the first impression on their mind is going to be to lie about it and to try to cover it up and to try to keep it quiet so that you don't lose your temper. Number five, she needs to be the priority in your life, seen by how you spend time with her. She sees how much time you spend with other things. She sees what is important in your life by what you spend your time with. I've heard of many women who feel like a widow in hunting season in the winter and fishing season in the spring and summer. And then the husband, instead of spending Friday and Saturday night with his wife, invites his co-workers and buddies over to watch the fights and the ball games and the sports on TV, and expects her to tend to the kids and keep them quiet and fix food for everybody and clean up after it's over with. I can understand very rapidly how a woman would feel like she's being used and abused if she has to live in that kind of condition. She needs to be important. You need to spend time with her. She needs to have an outside interest that she can spend time with. And she needs, if you go spend time doing things, let her spend equal time doing something too. That means you got to stay home and take care of the kids while she spends time doing something else. It's important. What we spend our time on is what we treasure and what we see as important. She needs to be the one you spend most of your time with, and that you look forward to getting away from other things so that you can spend time with her. Your wife needs to have intelligent conversation. I mentioned this from the doctor's survey. Especially if she's been home with kids all day, she needs to sit down and talk. You've been gone all day, she's at home, you come home, she wants to tell you about something. Maybe something you already know. You might not be interested in what she wants to tell you, or you may have already heard about what she wants to tell you. But you need to be careful about how you cut her off or how you tell her that you already knew that. She may need some help around the home, and she sees what you spend your time with and your energy on and your money on. She might ask, can we go out to Captain Steve's Friday night and eat some fish? And you think it's going to cost $35 or $40 to do that? And you tell her, I just don't think we can afford it and it's too expensive. And then that Saturday you go to the gun store and buy a $600 handgun. You know, your wife's going to feel a little bit unimportant, especially if you've already got two or three other handguns. And we need to consider all that and show our love, because love has good manners. It's important to ask her opinion about decisions that are going to be made. Last of all, I know you've been waiting for this. When she sees that you're a good leader, she won't mind following you. She needs to feel you have her best and her future in mind. My wife was not excited when I told her I felt the Lord was leading me into the ministry, and it would mean we'd need to sell our new home and our extra car and move out to Missouri and go to Bible college. And her home was very important to her. And she had a hard time with that. God had to deal with her heart to see that I knew what I was talking about and what I was doing was of the Lord. And in just a few days, she came to me and said, I've prayed about it and I'm ready, I'm willing to go. She followed me to Springfield, Missouri, through college, raising kids, back to York County, starting a church. The hardship of the low wages and raising kids and all of those kind of things. And she's followed me through that all. But one of the things that helped her to do that was because she believed that I knew what God's will was in what we should do as a couple and a family. And men, you need to know the will of God, and you need to help your family to know the will of God. Your wife may need to have some things in her life that you wouldn't necessarily plan. She may want to take a course. You know, one day the kids are going to get grown and be away from home. And women who have not worked outside the home while raising kids, then they get up to a certain age and financially getting prepared for retirement, unless the husband's got an awful good job and lives a long time, in this day and time it just about takes two incomes to get prepared for retirement age. We don't know what's going to happen in the future with our economy. We don't know what's going to happen with Social Security. We don't know what's going to happen with retirement plans and all that sort of thing. Boy, they took a nosedive, lost about 50 or 60% when all this hit in the initial stage. They've come back a little now, you know, the stock market and all that. But we are not dependent on Social Security and the stock market. We're dependent on our God. And He has promised to supply our needs. So let's be faithful to serve Him. Let's be faithful to love our wives and try our best to meet their needs. Now, men, I could preach for 6 months on this subject every week, and we'd never be able to fully understand our wife or women. Why? Because we're different. We understand us, but we're not going to understand them. You know, somebody wrote some books and said, men are from Mars and women are from Venus. It's kind of silly, but the truth is there that we're different from each other. And so we've got to try to learn and show respect and listen and meet the needs of the person that we're married to. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your blessings and your mercy to us. Thank you for this subject that we've been covering, trying to strengthen and help the marriages and the homes of your people. And we pray for your blessings upon those who are listening. We thank you that they've come to watch. We pray that all the issues and problems of the internet and the Facebook and all that will be worked out so that folks can sit and enjoy hearing a message from God's word. So bless your people. Thank you. We give you our praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.